Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. We continue our sermon series based on the Gospel of Matthew. Today, the readings are taken from Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 13, and Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and then 18 to 23. Our vicar, Fabian Wirtz, reflects on persistent discipleship.
The Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 13. As the rain and the snow came down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that comes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord.
The next reading is from Matthew 13, verse 1 to 9 and verse 18 to 23. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. This is the Sea of Galilee. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then from verse 18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Let's pray. We sang, Speak, O Lord. May we receive your truth that will transform our lives. May we be those who are bearing fruits. So may your word today strengthen, challenge, and equip us to be your disciples in this world. Amen. So So we're continuing this series on discipleship, and just a quick reminder, the disciple is an apprentice, someone who's following Jesus. Learn from him, learn to do the things he does. And yesterday we met as a PCC, for those who don't know what a PCC is, those are representatives from this church that you elect for 3 years, and we meet nearly once a month. And they're a little bit like in a charity, those who are looking at the well-being of a charity with its aims and purposes. So that's what we did yesterday, and we started by just looking back and being grateful, trying to see where can we be grateful. And that's how our life as a disciple should always be. We should start with gratitude. We've been grateful for who God is, what he does. And of course, we also looked at where we see God's life and maybe some of the challenges. And it's been 2 difficult years, and we come also with our hurts and our pains and our questions, but also with the hope for the future. And I know that many of the house groups have been praying for that Saturday, and it's really been a good time. And the idea was not just we were thinking of the church, but also our own life and where God is at work with us. One of the things we did yesterday is we had those prayer station, and Richard Carpenter is going to tell you a little bit more. They are at the back, but because at the heart of what we do is to pray. Pray for the community, pray for a life together, pray for our families, and pray that we will be those disciples that express God's life. And one of the kind of key term that comes the whole Church of England, but that we also perceive, and that's our call, is to be those missionary disciple. So apprentice of Jesus that share the message through their lives and through the words every day and everywhere. And we felt quite strongly that's where we need to grow, a culture of Christians that knows how to share Jesus with their friends, their family, their neighbor in a natural way, and how to invite our friends to events here where they can learn faith, where they can hear God's message. Now, to do that, I believe we need to believe in the power of that message. We need to believe, actually, that the gospel is good news. I did share yesterday that I have no doubt if someone, and if you have the inclination, you can do that. If someone wants to give me a Ferrari today, I have no doubt that I will shout it through the roof. I will show my Ferrari. I will say to people, come, have a... No problem. The gospel is so much better than any Ferrari. And yet, we struggle to share it, to be excited about it. So those two passages for me helps us to rediscover the power of the message. And so in our first reading in Isaiah, Isaiah was a prophet. He had received a message, and he believed that that message was good news for his days and age. And it was a difficult message. There were strong words. But why do we share the gospel? Why was Isaiah sharing his message? Well, first we see in that passage because it's effective. It starts with, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the water and make it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Rain is a gift from heaven. Maybe not too much in England, too much rain. No, it's a gift because it allows crops to grow. It allows us to have food. It produces transformation. It turns deadness, seeds that looks dead, into nourishment. Becomes bread. And that's the power of God's word. God's words to Isaiah and God's words to us through Jesus Christ. It's effective when we share it. It's instrumental. It achieves God's purposes. My word that goes out of my mouth will not return to me empty. That word became flesh in Jesus, and through his life, death, and resurrection has opened up a new kingdom, a new rule. God's already ruling on earth through those who are following him, through the Christian. And we are called to expand that good news, that rule, in all that we do and in all that we say, because it's effective. Now, throughout the chapter, and I encourage you to read the whole of Isaiah 55, it speaks of sharing, inviting people, come see who God is. And as people start to see, they might seek. And as they might to seek God, they might hear his call, and they might realize things need to change in my life. You see, when someone turns around and starts to following Jesus, that's what we mean by repentance. It's effective, not this repentance is effective, it's because the word of God is effective in someone's life. Someone's life thinking and feeling start changing. And they start seeing the world, themselves, and God differently. It's effective because, as Christian, we believe that God, Holy Spirit, lives in us. We speak that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple at the time of Jesus was the place where they all believed God was present. So to say that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit means God is present in you. You see, when you walk around through your day, God walks around, because God lives in you. And so our call is to express that in the best way we can through our actions and our words. It's effective. Secondly, in this passage, we share it because it's good. It's a good message. There is a warning. There is a bit that we need to say about the reality of our brokenness, and that's not easy to say, but it's good because if we don't know we're sick, we don't go to the doctor. And if we don't go to the doctor, we can't get better. And so it's a message of healing, of transformation. It will accomplish my purpose, and here in this passage, and you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. And even the whole of creation, it's not just good news for us, it's the whole of creation that God is redeeming and rescuing and transforming. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. I haven't seen yet those trees clapping their hands. I've seen talking trees in the story of Narnia. We are walking through the series of Narnia. They're walking trees there. And then they kind of clap their hands. Where, no, they clap their enemies. But even the whole of creation one day will be freed from the bondage, it says in Scripture. It's the most important message, the most urgent, the richest, the deepest, and the most pressing message the world needs to hear. It's a message of life, God's life, that he wants to give us. It's an invitation. In that chapter 55, it says, all you who are thirsty, come and drink. Those of you who do not have money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. You do not need money. It will cost you nothing. Why spend your money on something that is not real food? Why work for something that doesn't really satisfy you? You see, salvation, being made right with God, costs you really nothing. It cost Jesus everything. It cost his life. He died in your stead. And that's the good news. That frees you now to serve him in a new way. God really wants to give us life. And the thinking here is, and that's why we should share it, is because it always leads, the message, when it's received, it leads to a party. It leads to a party. That's the typical representation of responding to God. When someone hears God's voice and responds, there is such a change of heart and mind, and there is a party in heaven. And there is actually a charity, Christian Against Poverty, CAP, Christian Against Poverty. They help people getting out of debt, but they're also very intentional about sharing the good news and the gospel at the same time. And when someone becomes a Christian, gives their lives, it's kind of reported to a channel. And when they hear it at the main office, they have a bell. And each time they hear someone give their life, they ring the bell as a sign of a party in heaven. That's what happened when we share the message and it's received. There is a rejoicing. Come buy and wine and milk. Come without money, without a cost. You see, the party is not like a soup kitchen or a charitable handout. It's a banquet. And of course, we have this big picture of the end of the age when there will be a banquet, a rejoicing with God. So we share it because it's effective. We share it because it's good. And we share it because it leads to a party. It made me think that I think church should be more party-like. We should be those celebrating constantly. It's not to deny the reality of life, that's hard, the worries of, you know, the coming cost of life. We don't deny that, but we know God is with us. We know it's safe. We know God will be with us. If we listen to Him, we look after each other. We go through this together as a family. And there will be a party. So we share it because we believe it's good, we believe it's effective, and we believe it leads to a party, to a life that is changed. And then in our other passage, we learn how we are called to share it. How do we share this message who is good and effective and leads to a party? Well, the parable of the sower, I haven't even started my presentation. There we go. I need to go, peace. That's where I am now. We share it generously. Now, I like this picture because in the days of Jesus, fields were those four elements that we read in that story. They didn't have kind of good fences or stones that would, you know, separate fields. The way they would separate fields, there would be path. So part of your field would be path. They didn't remove the stones. They didn't have to, you know, put all the stones out and pile them up, and then you had already. No, stones were part of a field. So they had stony parts, and they had good parts, and they had parts where there were thistles and thorns. So really the story here says the sower sows everywhere. He's generous. He doesn't start thinking too much. He doesn't become picky. He just throws his seeds. That's a beautiful picture of our lives, being generous with our witness, with what we do, trying to do the thing the best we can as a way to honor God, our work, trying to do the best we can so that people see something of the Christian identity and life through our work. And when we have a chance to share something of our lives and our faith, do it with sensitivity, with generosity, with respect. Do it everywhere. Take every opportunity to sow seed. You don't know where it will fall and start growing. You see, the good news in that story, it's not your responsibility to worry about the growth. Because the idea of those three, four different grounds is we don't know the heart of other people. God knows. And the problems with not growing is because it's in the heart. And so you have those four soils, and they speak differently of someone's heart. But that's not our responsibility. We only are responsible to sow. You see, we are the one who spreads. We are the one who needs to shine. We are the one who needs to be salty, to share our saltiness, because that's who we are as Christian. And every time you share an act of love in Jesus' name, every time you do your best in Jesus' name, every time you say something of God in Jesus' name, you are planting a seed. Paul says to a church, says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whatever in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God. So whatever we do, we're sharing God's message through our lives, through our words, everywhere, and at any time. And then secondly, we share it with courage and perseverance. Because the reality is that although we share it generously, it will fall in different grounds. And so we have these four different grounds that helps us have a realistic expectations as we share our lives with one another and with people outside the church. Some seeds will fall on a path, and the birds of the air come and eat it. And we heard those are the places where people hear the message, but it doesn't sink in. And so they forget. It's taken away. Maybe it's a representation of a heart that's hardened. And that was the reality of the religious people in Jesus' days. They were the ones who had hearts that were so hard they couldn't see who Jesus was. They were so hard they actually nailed him on the cross. And so sometimes we can be surprised with when we say a message of who is open and who is closed. But that's not for us. We just sow the seed. Some then fall on rocky ground. The truth is received with enthusiasm and joy, but there is no deep root. And when there is opposition or difficulties, it becomes unfruitful. Always make me think of a good friend. And one of the sentences he said, one of the last time I saw him, really broke my heart. And he kind of came to faith, was very joyful, and we met him often, was a good friend. And then I could see his kind of life declining, and he found it more hard to really believe, and he had questions about scripture. And one of the things he said when I last saw him, he said, "I wish someone had told me that Christian life was actually not easy." And that's why he gave up. There will be challenges as Christians, and you need to know that. Following Jesus is not easy. Actually, it's impossible. It requires you to be close to him, to allow him to transform you. There will be battles, hard decisions, lifestyles that you need to change. But God wants to do a deep work in us, deep roots. The good news is that we have a whole life to do that, and God is very patient. And we are unfinished product, all of us. All of us still need to be open to be changed and transformed. And the third one is seeds that falls, but the care of this life, the wealth, the pleasure, choke the very life of God. Now, if we stop there, it's not a very good result for that farmer. He must be very depressed. He sowed generously all those seeds and nothing is growing. What's happening? And that's why today is about being a perseverant disciple. We need to persevere. We need to be faithful, because some seeds will fall on good grounds and it will yield 160 and 30 times what we sow. Actually, the story is very good news. It says that your work in sharing the good news in your life and in your words will result in people bearing fruit. It will have a harvest. The frustration maybe by the world and the devil, the frustration of being tempted, the frustration of being tested will not stop the seed to grow. It will grow. But I think there is also a message for us. We also need to continue to let the message transform us. Because we all have maybe bits in our hearts at our heart. We don't want to hear God's voice. We don't want to give that bit of our life to God so that it can be transformed. We have dangers of allowing the worries and the cares of this world to choke our hope, choke our understanding of the goodness of God. I think, a picture there. Sometimes we feel like a Christian like that, carrying so many things on us. There is a danger of shallow grounds. It's important to have kind of those deep realization of God's love and sometimes a deep experience that God is with us. But that of itself, if it doesn't have deep roots, it's dangerous. It needs to be combined with times that we have regular times in prayer, reading scriptures, listening to God, being here among Christians, growing in our understanding of who God is. Spiritual roots are part of our lives that no one sees. You're going to leave this church, no one will see from now to next week what you will do with your faith, how you are allowing God to bring deeper roots. But it's important. That will allow you to grow. And there is a danger of filling our lives so much that it's full of distractions. And I look at my children, and the pressure of distraction is so much on them. I don't know how they do it. So much distraction in our days, worries, false promises about wealth, illusions about getting more and wanting more. Those are like thorns that can choke the life of God. So we share the gospel, but we also need to continue to receive it for ourselves. We tell it because it's effective, because it's good, and because it's life-giving. We tell it generously and courageously, and we continue to allow God's word to work in our own lives and our own hearts. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.